So love the world. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. How many glad to be in church this morning? Come on. It's good to be, whether you're here in person or whether you're watching online. We just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. And I don't know about you, but God has been better to me than I deserve. And so I'd just like to take a moment, like you to join with me in prayer as we just ask the Lord to just minister to us today, to speak to us. How many of you know that we don't just come into this place just as a ritual or a tradition, but we come here with expectation that God would say something to us and that whatever He says would create and transform inside of us and help us to be better than we were before we came. My prayer this morning is that we don't leave the same as we came. And so, Lord, I thank you for every young person in this place. I thank you for every mother and father. I thank you for every teenager. I thank you for every grandparent. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for every friend that I have here, church family member. Lord, I pray that you would just allow your presence to be in this place today. Lord, I pray you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, you would transform us from the inside out. Lord, may we not leave here the same as we came, but Lord, we come with an attitude of expectation, expecting you to speak to us, expecting you to move, expecting, Lord, that Lord, we're going to receive from you in a new and fresh way today. And Lord, we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord for just a few moments. I want to say once again, thanks for being here. If you're a visitor, we have a little visitor card that's in the seat back in front of you. And if you'll grab that, it says, "We're glad you're here." And if you'd fill that out for us, that helps us to give a record of your attendance, helps us to know that you came and visited with us today. And you'll fill that out, and then you can just stick it in the offering plate or offering bag as it goes by in a little bit. But once again, we're glad that you are here. Well, we have a few announcements for you today. Pastor will be speaking, and he's been preaching a message called After the Battle. And so how many of you ever read the title of Pastor's message and you wonder, you already start guessing what it's about? Come on. Come on. How many of you, when he starts out on the letters, you start trying to figure out what the next letter is going to be? Yeah. 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 Well, and sometimes I can get it, and sometimes I'm like, nope, didn't see that one coming. But that's staff meeting too. So, I'm just teasing. We are day two of our 21-day fast, and if you read your bulletin, we're doing a 21-day fast for faith, family, and freedom. And so it started yesterday. It's going to go through the 21st of this month. And again, I just once again challenge you to be a part of our church-wide fast, whatever it may be, whether it be social media, whether it be TV, whether it be whether it be some kind of. For me, I'm fasting sweets. Come on now, come on. Whoo! How many of you, when you're in the middle of a fast, you're fasting something, you really have to like go with, you need some discernment from the Lord whether what you are about to eat or not eat is on the forbidden list. You know what I mean? How many of you get legalistic with yourself? You're like, you know, the anointing of the Lord could be lifted right off of me if I eat. So today, Kelly tried to tempt me with French toast sticks, and she tried to convince me that you could eat the stick but not the syrup, and that would then not be a sweet. I just abstained from the whole thing. And so, thank you. Thank you. Your prayers are really appreciated during this time. Your prayers are really appreciated. We want to encourage you, whatever it may be. Maybe it's soda. Maybe it's a meal each day. Maybe you're going to fast breakfast or lunch or whatever. That's between you and the Lord. But what we'd like to encourage you to do is pick something. And what we'd like you to do is when you are abstaining from that, whether it be breakfast or whether it's sweets or whether it's social media, would you take the time that you would normally use to use that to spend time with the Lord and allow the Lord to speak to you? I tell the young people several times, I've told them about fasting. If you skip the meal but you also skip Jesus, then you're not fasting, you're just starving yourself. And so we want you to spend time with the Lord, and we want to challenge you with that. Coming up next month, we're already getting excited anticipation for Missions Convention. We'll have the Weatherlys here and the Kurtz, and they'll be here sharing with us. And so we're excited about that coming. And then on Wednesday nights, I just want to emphasize again that we have something for everyone, whether it be the adults here in the sanctuary, pastor doing a teaching and prayer and testimony time and all that, or whether it's our elementary age kids, they're over there, boys and girls, in their classes, or whether it's the junior high and the high school age teenagers who are with me in the youth facility. And there's always something happening on Wednesday nights. We'd love for you to be here. 6:30 is when the prayer starts in here for us, for the youth. 6:30 is when we kind of do the pre-hangout time, pre-service hangout time. 7 o'clock is the actual service time. It goes to about 8:15. We'd love for you to join us on Wednesdays. We have a great time of fellowship and growth in the Lord. And young people, if you come this week, we're celebrating. This Wednesday is Kelly and I's 20th wedding anniversary, and so we're having cake. And so I told you, Pastor, in full disclosure, I said I'm not having sweets. I am one time during the 21 days. I feel like 20 years, I should get one piece of cake. And so they asked me what I wanted on the cake, so I put on there, congrats, Phil, condolences, Kelly. So that's what we've got there. Going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen? Amen. 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 Just how many of you just feel blessed today? I just feel blessed of the Lord and all that He's doing in our lives. And I know that even in the midst of uncertainty, I know one thing is certain, and that is God is still on the throne. He's still in control. And no matter what man does, doesn't change a thing about the eternal plan of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you right now. Lord, for all that we'll give, we thank you, Lord, for what is given through the tithe and offering. Lord, given cheerfully, as your word says, to give with a cheerful heart. Give out of worship as we worship you with our finances, and giving out of obedience, God, as you've called upon us to give of the tithe and of the offering. And we praise you, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. After the offering bag passes, if you will stand back up, we're going back into worship. I dare not trust.
I don't think I can do this. You know, I look at what's happening on in the world, and I just say, God, I need your help. I don't think I can face what's happening or what's going to occur. And he gives us his strength because we have hope in the name of Jesus.
See my pain no more.
that we have victory in your name. That for every battle that we face, that you see the outcome and you know how it's going to work out. And we just lay it all at your feet. Father, everything that we're worried about, everything that we're concerned about, Lord, we just bring it and we lay it at your feet because we know that in your hands is taken care of and we have no need to worry or fear. And Father, we just want to come back to the place in our lives where we just spend that time with you in worship and praise and reading your word as we do this 21-day fast, Father. Lord, help us to just draw closer to you like we've never been before, because I have a feeling we're going to need it. And we need you more and more and more in our lives, in the lives of those around us, in our congregation, in our church family, Lord, and in this nation. So we just want to come back to the heart of worship, where we just lay it all down, cease worrying, and just lift up our eyes to you and lift our hands to praise and worship you and glorify you. For God, you are the creator of the universe. You are worthy of all of our praise. And we just thank you and glorify your name. And we just want to just spend a few moments just worshiping you and just telling you how much we love you. So let's just do that for a moment, Lord. Everybody, Lord Jesus, I just love you. I love you because you've given me so much. You've blessed me beyond comprehension. There's times in my life where I've been afraid or worried, and you've just taken that and shown me that you're going to take care of me, Lord. And you're worthy of the praise of this nation, Father, Lord, because you helped us create it. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. Forgive us for turning our eyes from you, from letting things in this world take over and forgetting exactly what it is that we've been blessed with in this nation. Father, just touch us, Lord. Draw us to you. Draw us closer to you than ever before. And help us just to worship you like the angels do that surround you in heaven. For someday, God, I want to be there. I want to be by your side. I want to worship you. So let me worship you today. Let me glorify you today, that you might find it worthy. That you might find it worthy. I just praise you and magnify you. Praise you, Jesus, Lord. I just thank you, Father, Lord. Just praise you, Jesus.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the what you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you
Come on, let's just worship him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise, oh God. It's all about you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you, God. Oh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise to you, God. We lift our hands to you, God. We lift our worship to you, God. We magnify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Way to the Lord's presence. Thank you, Jesus. Speak to our hearts today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. It's all about you. Thank you, Jesus. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. For your help, for your blessing, for your peace, for your strength, for your joy. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood you shed on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for purchasing our salvation, for giving us hope beyond this life. Thank you, Jesus. You said you would return for those who are looking for you to come. Oh, Jesus, we praise your name. Praise your name. Father, we lift up Marilyn, who's not feeling well this morning. Marilyn Latham, we lift up Donna Gerken. We pray that you would touch her also. Not feeling well, had a rough night. We pray for Bradley Shoemate. We thank you, Lord, for being with him as he's been in the hospital but been released. I pray that you continue to touch him. And, Lord, continue to be with those who are sick. Continue to be with those who have lost jobs. Continue to be with our country. God, we need a major, major healing in our country. So we pray for our beloved United States of America this morning. We pray, Lord, that as we humble ourselves to seek your face, as we repent of our sinful ways, Lord, as a church, Lord, you said that you would come and you would heal our land. So, Father, we pray for that healing today upon our land. We pray, God, that you would just do a mighty work in our nation. And, Lord, just use your church, Father God, to be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of the Lord. God, have your way today in our lives. Have your way in this service this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for the power of the Holy Spirit as we gather together to worship you and to hear from your word and to pray together. I pray that this time is not just a gathering time for social conversations, but Lord, more importantly, it's a time when we hear from you. It's a time when you are present and you touch hearts and lives. It's a time when the supernatural takes place. It's a time when lives are changed and people are filled with your Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's a time that people are filled with hope and peace and joy in the midst of some trying times that we're all living through. We thank you, God, for your blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning with you. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Ephesians 6:10, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I've titled this message this morning after the words in verse 13 of our text that said, then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. After the battle. Notice the verbs of assurance that we read in this passage. In verse 11 says, you will be able to stand. Verse 13, you will be able to resist. And also, you will still be standing firm. In verse 15, you will be fully prepared. Aren't you glad that we can and will overcome in Jesus' name? The Apostle Paul has written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit with absolute certainty the outcome of those who seek to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You will, not might, overcome. We need to be reminded today that we don't have to be shaken. We don't have to be fearful. But we can have victory in Jesus. Amen? Amen. The Bible was given to us for guidance of how to live. It is filled with examples of real people who faced real problems with a real enemy, just like we face today. We can look at their examples and we can see what works and we can see what doesn't work. These accounts in the Word of God were given to us for that reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, these things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Wow, that's us. I would say we're at that point. I would say we're living at the end of the age. Would you agree with me? It goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Again, notice the certainty, the word will. He didn't say may. He didn't say might. He said will. God is faithful. Amen. Now, first of all, I want to establish a fact this morning. Something that's been a fact that every generation of Christian believers have had to deal with since the beginning of time. Number one, we have an adversary to overcome. We have an adversary to overcome. When you became a born-again believer, what's a believer? A believer, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You transferred your allegiance to a new master. You went from being in Satan's camp to being in God's kingdom. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad? Amen. But Satan wasn't happy. He's not happy that you transferred your membership, so to speak. He doesn't like it that now that you are endeavoring to serve God, that you are in God's camp rather than his camp. Well, this hostility between God and Satan, between good and evil, started way back in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3, 14 and 15, we read, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." This is what God said to Satan, which was a prophetic promise of Christ conquering death and resurrection. As believers, we are also children of God, so we are involved in that hostility between God and Satan. To put it bluntly, Satan doesn't like you. And he wants to bring you down. He wants to trip you up, just like he tried to do Jesus. But in Christ, we can also be victorious, but it will also require for us to be in the battle. It will require for us to be strong in the Lord. And all through the Bible, we see glimpses of this warfare as Satan has continued to try to halt and to hinder God's plan and God's people. He has tried to do that right up to our present day. Even what is happening in our beloved country right now is the result of Satan's fiery darts and his strongholds and his attacks upon God's people and God's plan. So first of all, we need to understand that we have an adversary to overcome. And because of that, number two, we have a battle to fight. We have a battle to fight. Remember in our text in Ephesians 6:13, it said, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. After the battle. We sing worship psalms. For example, this is how I fight my battles. We sing songs like, I went to the enemy's camp to take back what he stole from me. And there are other songs that we sing that talk about us being in a battle, us being in warfare as the children of God. So a couple of questions come to mind. Number one, what and or where are these battlefields? Where are these battlefields? I mean, we don't actually have a battlefield out here with guns and tanks where the enemy's on one side and we're on the other out here, literally, physically. We don't have that. But no less, we are in a battle. Amen? The battle that I think of most of all when I think about where is that battlefield and what are we battling is right here in between our ears, in our minds, with our feelings, with our thoughts. Satan attacks our thoughts. He likes to attack our feelings and our thinking, does he not? Fear, worry, doubt, and other fiery darts come flinging towards us for us to defend. Right straight from the pits of hell, it's important that we wear the helmet of salvation to protect our head. And by that I mean that we are saved and that we know that we are saved and we put our trust in God and we're looking to Him as our Heavenly Father. We're trusting in the helmet of salvation that when Satan comes against us, we can say, don't forget, Satan, I'm a child of God. And it's important that we have the shield of faith. The Bible says the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. He will put doubts and he will try to fling fear your way and worry. And you can say, not so fast. Not so fast. My Bible says this and my Bible says that. And we can speak the word of God. The word of God is also our weapon that we use, the sword of the Spirit. Listen to these verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 5, and I'm reading this from the NIV version. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive those thoughts. When you have a thought that comes to your mind that is directly opposed to what the Bible says about you or about life or about Him, about the Lord Himself, then you need to take captive that thought. You need to like swing a lasso around it and say, not so fast. That is not of the... And you throw that thought down and say, that is not a thought that would have come from the Savior. And Satan is so good at making us think certain things or feel certain ways. We just need to declare the word of God and say, that isn't what my Bible says, Satan. Not today. Not today, Satan. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That's something you have to do. You can't ask the Lord to do that. Lord, set my mind on things above. No, Paul says, you do that. You have to do it. You have a part to play. You're in the battle. Yes, I'm glad many times the Bible says that he will fight for us. The battle is the Lord's, but it doesn't give us an escape clause. It doesn't say we're off the hook. We have a battle to fight. And so we have to consciously set our mind on things above. Set your heart on and your mind on good things, on God's word and his ways. Another scripture, I didn't put it up there, but Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are good and lovely and of good report and so on, all those adjectives. He says, what does he say? Think what? On these things. Think on these things. We have to discipline our minds and set them on things that are good and right and godly. We need to throw stinking thinking out the window. Amen. We need to think good things. We need to speak good thoughts, faith thoughts. Speak the word of God. If you're starting to have fear, say, God does not give me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. If you're starting to worry about tomorrow, Satan comes to you and says, gets you all upset about tomorrow, say, you know what, Satan? Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I won't lack a thing. He's going to take care of me, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he than he that's in the world. If God be for me, who could be against me? That's why it's important to read and know the word of God, so when the enemy comes and you speak the word, he says, well, I'm not getting anywhere. I might as well just take off. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. That's right. When you think good things and you speak the word of God, your fear will be replaced by faith. Another battlefield is in our trials and temptations. Trials and temptations. Trials, the difference between trials and temptations, or trials are the various storms of life that we face, just like unbelievers face. And temptations, we'll get to that in a minute. Temptations are the things that Satan tempts you with, or your flesh tempts you with, to do wrong or to not do right. Things that are could be a sin if you do them. And even some things are a sin if you don't do them. You know, things that are good and right, we're to not do. But anyway, let me talk about trials for just a moment. Trials, like I said, are the various storms of life that everyone faces. Health problems, job loss, family issues, financial needs, misunderstandings between people or family members, just plain old frustrations, a virus. Anybody ever been frustrated by a virus? Our whole country's frustrated by a virus, or the fear of the virus, and everything going along and all the stuff that's happening. There's a lot of things that are trying to brew up in our lives, storms that we're facing right now. And the Bible says the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. You remember the story of the foundations. Jesus gave the parable about the wise man built his house on the rock and the storms came. He talks about the foolish man built his house on the sand and the storms came. In both cases, the storms came. In both cases, the wind blew and beat against both houses. And so just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you are exempt from any trials and tests and frustration. Don't you just wish it did? Don't you just wish when you said to God, all of a sudden you were in a bubble, nothing ever affects you ever again? We don't get that till we get to heaven. Amen. We don't get that till we get to heaven. In heaven, all that's gone. All the frustrations, everything is gone. Sickness, whatever, it's gone. But right now, we have to face those things. But as I said a moment ago, it's so comforting to know that we have a heavenly Father who cares for his children. You know, if I ever, in the natural sense or in the physical sense, if I ever have a need, I know that I can call my dad and I can ask him for his advice. I know that he would give me the shirt off his back. If whatever I would need, I know I could call Harold Lance in Enid, Oklahoma, and he would help me out. But you know, beyond that, I have a heavenly Father who has no limitations, who can do anything and everything. He has everything at his disposal. He will come to me because he is my heavenly Father. I have been adopted into his family when I said yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. I have a heavenly Father and you do too. You don't have to feel alone or afraid. Your heavenly Father is in heaven and he's watching every single move you make. He sees everything you face. And as I said a moment ago, you have a good shepherd who says he will lay down his life for his sheep. And he did lay down his life. And he calls his sheep by name. And the Bible says the Lord even knows how many hair are on my head. The Lord knows when I got up this morning. He knows what time I'll go to bed tonight. He watches over me. One place in the Bible says he sings over me. I can't think what book of the Bible that's in, but I think it's in Zephaniah. One of the prophets says, and he sings over me. Through the night, the Lord's singing over me and over you. So that is trials that we all face. Temptations are the various temptations to sin and disobey God that come to us through our fleshly desires and through outright attacks of our adversary to go against the God that we serve. And we read earlier that when we are tempted, the Lord will show you a way out so that you can endure. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, when you are tempted, I will be there. I will show you a way out. One of the ways out, it may just be flat flee. Just run. I said 1 Corinthians 10:13 was that verse. The very next verse, it uses the word flee in it. I didn't even read it, but it talks about flee. You know, sometimes you just got to get up and run. When you're tempted, you just got to get out of there. Don't put yourself in temptation's way. Don't put yourself in areas where you know you're going to be tempted. Don't listen to the flesh. One of the important things about a fast is it pulls the flesh down. The cravings of man, the temptations in the flesh is weakened, and the spirit man is uplifted. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. Fasting decreases us. and makes more room for God. So another question that comes to mind is, how do we fight our battles? How do we overcome? How do we win? You say, Pastor Steve, I haven't been winning too much lately. I feel like I've been losing battles. How do I win? How you know, after the battle, okay? After the battle, I understand. But how do I win the battle? Let me give you four R's, as Pastor Phil mentioned earlier, about how to win the battle. And there may be others, but these are all the R's I could come up with. Number one, realize who you are in Christ. I think that is so important to winning the battle, is realize who you are in Christ. Number one, you are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. You are redeemed. You are bought back. Now, I don't want to have to tell my toy boat story, but y'all have heard it 1,000 times. But you are redeemed just like that toy boat was redeemed. You are bought back. God created you and he made you, and then on the cross he bought you. He bought you. He paid for you. You are his. When you come to him and say, God, I want to give my life to you, he says, yes, sir. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. At the end of the service, we're going to celebrate the Lord's death and resurrection with communion. You are redeemed. Know that in Christ, I am redeemed. I am a child of God. Number two, and that under that one is, you are robed in righteousness. When you come to Christ, you get his righteousness. Your dirty rags, your filthy rags are removed, and you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. When God looks down from heaven at you, he doesn't see your unrighteous, filthy rags. If you're a child of God, he sees the righteousness of his son Jesus. And Jesus never did any wrong. He was perfectly right. He doesn't see your unrighteousness. Because you are declared righteous. You are justified. Just if I'd never sinned. God looks at you as perfect. Now, are you perfect all the time? No. You're not totally perfect all the time till you get to heaven in and of yourself. But when, as a child of God, when Christ looks at you, he looks at you perfectly. You are justified. You are covered by Jesus' righteousness. That'll set somebody free, just knowing that. You are robed in his righteousness. And then thirdly, you are ready to witness and ready to serve. You are ready to serve the Lord. In Christ, you are ready to be his mouthpiece. You are ready to be his hands. You are ready to serve him. So first of all, how do you win the battles? Realize who you are in Christ. Number two, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Your sword, it brings peace and it builds faith. And obey it. Don't just read it. The Bible warns about that. If you read it but you don't do it, that's no good. We read it and we obey it as best we can, and with Christ's help and the Holy Spirit's help, we read the Bible and we obey it. I heard a saying one time, says, dusty Bibles mean defeated lives. If we never read our Bible, no wonder you're defeated. No wonder you're losing battles. If this just sits on the shelf and is only taken away on Sunday mornings when you grab it on the way out the door to go to church, no wonder you're defeated. We need to read it every day. It used to be like our manna that we feed on every day. Read the Word of God. You say, I don't understand it. Skip the part you don't understand and go to the next verse. The Lord will show you. I guarantee you, if you start reading the Word of God and asking the Lord to show you, he will begin to make you understand things. It'll just start to make sense to you. You think, oh man, now I get that. Read the Word of God. The Word will keep you from sin. Remember what Psalm 119, I think it's verse 11, I believe, says, I will hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against God. You learned that back in VBS when you were 10. At least I did. I remember that's the first time I learned that verse. Vacation Bible school. The word will keep you from sin, but here's another part. Sin will keep you from the word. You say, well, I don't have much of a desire to read the Bible. Maybe you better check your sin in your life. Maybe there's something that shouldn't be, because the Bible will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, remember that? Oh, that's the book for me. I'll stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The Bible, that's right. You say, man, you're so elementary. Well, maybe that's what it takes. Maybe that's what we need, is to understand that our victory is in the B-I-B-L-E. And we need to read it every day. We feed ourselves physically every day. Maybe not during the fast. But we feed ourselves. Most of us are probably pretty regular at 3 meals a day. What would we look like in a physical sense if we read our Bible as much, or if we didn't read our Bible like we don't, if we didn't eat? What would we look like if we never read the Bible? What would we look like physically? Would we be skinny and weak and powerless? We need to feed ourselves spiritually from the Word of God every day. So realize who you are in Christ. Read your Bible. Number three, rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Boldness, courage, power, peace, joy are all found in being filled and continuing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's important that I go away. He said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I go away, the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit is as vital to our Christian lives as God the Father and Christ the Son. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need to be filled with the Spirit. A Spirit-filled believer is a giant pain in the devil's neck. How many of you want to be a pain in the devil's neck? Amen. Get filled with the Spirit of God. You say, what is that? Just get before the Lord and say, God, fill me. Fill me with your Spirit, whatever that is. Some people, you know, they try to figure it all out. I drove a 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track to church this morning. I have no clue on everything on how it works. I mean, I'm not a dummy. I know some general thinking. But if you tell me, if you want it for me to explain all of how the combustion and all the transmission and all the computer all works in that track, I don't know. It just got me here. And some people try to do that with the Lord. They got to figure it all out. When it all makes sense, then we'll try it. Don't do that. Just go by faith and say, God, your word says I can be filled with the Spirit, that I can have power in you. I can have power over my enemies. I can do mighty works in your name. I can have the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. If you said I need it, then I want it. Fill me and go to the Lord continually. Amen. Don't try to figure it all out. Seek to be filled and fired up over the next 21 days of prayer and fasting. Let me say a word about that prayer and fasting. I put in there pray and fast for three things: faith, family, and freedom. What I mean by that is your faith to be on fire. I've got three things I'm praying for over the next 20 days. Is, Lord, I want my faith in you to be on fire. Remember the old days we grew up, we talked about, well, that person's really on fire for God. Remember that? Well, that she's really on fire. You know what God's will is? God's will is for all of us to be on fire continually. Is it not? No, God wants you to cool down most of the year, but maybe a couple Sundays a month you can get fired up. Baloney. It's a nice theological word for uh-uh. God wants us to be on fire. So pray for your faith to be on fire. Number two, pray for your family to be focused on the Lord. I felt that so strong. There are so many voices, there's so many weapons that the enemy is using against our kids and against our grandkids and against family members, blinding them, deceiving them, telling them what used to be right is now wrong and what used to be wrong is now right. We need our kids to get focused on the Lord, not focused on what this world tries to tell them. They need to be listening to God's voice, not the voice of the world. And so, Lord, I pray over my kids. I call out my kids' names and my in-law, in-love kids. I call them my in-love kids every day. And my six grandkids, I pray over them. Said, Lord, let them be focused on you. And then thirdly, pray for our freedom to be fortified in our nation. Our freedoms, ladies and gentlemen, unless you are totally asleep, are under attack in this country. Our freedom to worship, our freedom to speak, our freedom, every freedom we have is under attack because there are people out there with an agenda to take America down and make it a communist socialist nation. We need to desperately pray, not just kind of mamby-pamby pray. We need to desperately pray for the United States of America. We are at a major crossroads in this nation. And if you don't believe that, you're asleep and your head's in the sand. It's time to, if we don't fast for anything else, we need to pray for that. But more importantly is faith. You know, this world and this nation is going to pass away anyway one day. Not that I want that to happen while I'm here. I don't want my grandkids to live under communist rule and be begging for food in a food line somewhere because there's no food to be had. I want them to enjoy the freedoms of America like I've enjoyed for the last 59 years. But at the same time, I also know that the greatest battle of all is a battle for the soul, and that's eternal. Every nation is going to be gone someday, and it's only going to be the kingdom of God. And so a person's soul is more important than their political persuasion. You got to be careful. So, faith to be on fire, family to be focused, and freedoms to be fortified in our country. Number four on how to win is not only realize who you are in Christ, read your Bible, rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Number four, relationships are essential. No Lone Rangers for God. Even the Lone Ranger had who? Tonto. That's right. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. The Bible is very clear that we are the body of Christ. We are the body. Each one of us as Christians are a part of the body. Some of us have some talents and have one function. Others of us have another talent and another function. We're not all alike. My liver is not the same thing as my brain. My arm is not the same thing as my little toe. My mouth is not the same thing as my ears. You know why God gave you two ears and one mouth? So you listen twice as much as you talk. I heard that somewhere. Wasn't even my notes. That's free. Just take that one. That's free. We are connected to one another just like our human body is connected. As I walk forward to this platform, there are many muscles and there are many bones and there are many organs that are allowing me to take these three steps back to this podium. I'm glad they're working in harmony. It would be a sight to see if my part of me went one way and part of me went another. It would not be a pretty sight. We need to be in harmony. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You make me sharper. Thank you for helping me be a sharper person. And I hope I help you to be a sharper person. I hope we help each other to be sharper in the Lord. Hebrews 10:23-25, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his returning is drawing near. We need to be there and motivate one another. And I know it's been challenging with all the virus and the social distancing at time to even come together. But as best we can, we need to be there and motivate and pray for one another in the body of Christ. We must guard the unity within the body. Ephesians 4:3 tells us to make every effort to keep peace in our relationships with one another in the church. We need to guard the unity. Build one another up. Think of yourself less and your brother and sister more. Do what you can to help them. Pick up the phone. Send a note. Send a text. Send an email. Say, I appreciate you. All of us could do better at being an encourager to somebody else. How many of you like to get a text or an email or a phone call? Sometimes this person just says, I was just thinking about you. I just want you to know I really appreciate you and love you. Isn't that good? We like that. We need to sow what we want to reap. We need to do that for others. We need to be like that. Amen? Amen. So we have an adversary to overcome. Number two, we have a battle to fight. Number three, and last of all, we have a victory to celebrate. We have a victory to celebrate. After the battles are over, we will have a great victory to celebrate. We will have a great victory to celebrate. Let me emphasize the will. Because, you know, in political elections, they'll have watch parties. You know, they're having a certain people's running. They'll have a watch party at this motel or this convention center. And for the different candidates. Well, you know what? Especially like if it's a presidential, let's say there's two watch parties. There's this one over here. Well, certainly one of them is not going to be ending well, right? One of them is going to go down in defeat. And if you got a bunch of political parties going on, governors, and there's going to be a lot of them that after the balloons are up and everybody's hoping for victory, they're watching the TV set looking for votes, all of a sudden it's not going to go their way and they're going to end up going, well, we gave it our best shot. I can tell you a victory partner that I know is going to happen. Jesus will be victorious. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, every single person that's ever lived and breathed on this planet will kneel their knees and bow their head and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He wins. We have a victory to celebrate. Hallelujah. We know the final outcome. We know who will be left standing. It's those who, after the battle, are standing on the Lord's side. I want to be on the Lord's side. Those who live their lives for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords are the winners. Which side are you on today? Which side are you on? Will you still be standing after the battle? I'm going to do my best with God's help and the help of the Holy Spirit to still be standing after the battle. Amen. If that's you today, you're going to be standing after, let me see your hand. If you're going to be standing with God's help after the battle, hallelujah. I like that brother back there. He's got both hands raised. No doubt, man. I'm winning. I'm going with Jesus the whole way. I don't care what the world does. They can say this is wrong and that's wrong and this is right and that's right. I'm going with what this book says. I believe it. I'm trusting in it, and I believe I'm going to be victorious in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that after the battle, we will be victorious. Lord, I pray for those that are in the battle, which is all of us. I pray for all of us, because all of us right now, if we are a child of God, we are in the battle. And I pray that you would help us to do these things we've talked about. Read your word and remember who we are and be filled with the Spirit. Encourage one another. Father God, I pray that you help us, Lord, to stand firm. To stand firm, to put on the armor of God every day, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and all the weapons, Lord, I pray that you help us to be suited up and ready for the battle every single day, so that after the battle, we will stand before you and hear you say, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now. Is there someone here today you'd say, "Pastor Steve, I'm not ready for the battle. I'm not ready for what's happening because I'm not right with God today, but I want to get right with God before I leave this service." Is there anyone here today? You just lift your hand. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to pray with you that you would get right with God today. Anyone today, lift up your hand. Say, "Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not right with God, but I need the Lord." Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. Any others today? You know that you want to say, I just know I'm not quite right with God. I want to get it right today because I don't want to lose. I don't want to be on the losing side at the end of life. I want to be on the winning side. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like for all of you just to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And I'd just like to lead us in a prayer. We're going to do communion in just a moment, but there was one or two hands that were raised that they want to get right with God. So I'd just like to pray with them right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for those who raised their hand. And there could have been people watching online today. Several hundred each week watch as we preach messages and lead worship from this pulpit. And I thank you for them today. So, Lord, today I pray for each and every person that knows in their heart that they're not right with you. They've allowed the world to take them in a direction that is not what you want. And so, Father, we come to you today. Jesus, we come to you. So right now in your hearts, everybody, just come to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I come to you. Lord, I come to you. Lord, I give you my heart right now. Forgive me of my sins. Put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord. And God, help me to depend on the Holy Spirit and on the Word of God to help me through each day. Lord, help me to come back to my first love," as we learned in Sunday school this morning. As you spoke to the Ephesian church, they have forsaken their first love. Lord, put the first love spirit back in our hearts for you. Lord, we can do a lot of good things, and sometimes we're just doing it out of habit, but the passion and the love is not really there. And I think that's what the Lord was convicting the Ephesian church of, is they had lost their first love. They lost their passion. They were just doing it out of rote, just out of habit. And God, we can be guilty of that. So I pray that you help us today to be truly, totally in love with you and committed to you and faithful to you and spend time with you and read your word and pray and seek your face. So forgive us, Lord. Forgive us all for taking our eyes off of you when we should be keeping them on you. Forgive us, Lord, for we want to win. After the battle, we want to be standing. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Would you just lift up your hand and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just lift my hand to you, God, just like a teacher in a class. Who wants to go to heaven? Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we just lift our hands to you and say, Jesus, we're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed to be called your child. We're not ashamed to be associated with you. Lord Jesus, we love you. We want to serve you. We praise you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." I'm going to have our men come forward today. We're going to serve communion. Our communion is a little bit different this morning. Rather than a tray of bread and a tray of juice, the juice and the bread is all made into one package. So what you do when you get it is you pull the top off, and that takes the bread out, and then you'll have the juice under that. So I'd just like for these men to stand. They're going to stand across the front. We're going to come forward. And then I want you to go and just find a place to take communion. And I'm going to read the scripture as they're passing, as you're lining up. I just want you to find a place. You don't have to wait on one another in this sense today. Just find a place at your back at your seat or at the altar and find a place to take communion with your family. And so as you come, Jesus said to us, "This is my body." Well, let me read 1 Corinthians 11:23. "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we come to the table of the Lord this morning, we are reminded of your great love, reminded of your great sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for giving your life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus.
you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord, today. We love you, Lord, today. Help us to serve you, to go forward in the strength and in the power of the Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you this morning. Hallelujah. I once was lost.